shake my head sometimes at how awesome God is. You know, coming into here today, I kept saying, I've been praying all week, God, I've got a message, just so you know. I was like, God, I'm not 100% sure where I'm going. You haven't given me a takeoff point. And anyhow, God gave me a scripture. And I dug into that. And I said, okay, I know what I can preach on. And I know what we need. And then I looked at the song list. She had no idea. Because I had no idea an hour ago. And this has been printed up for a week. And I didn't know the song list until I came from my office and saw it over there. That's how good God is. That's how God orchestrates everything perfectly. You know, I like watching heist movies. I don't know about you, but like Ocean's 11, I love watching. Now, I was already warned about Ocean's 8. If you want to watch a glamour show, watch Ocean's 8. Well, you might like it, I don't know. But the Ocean's movies, where they had timing. Things had to happen at the right time in order for things to go off. The Italian Job, all those movies, things had to be perfectly timed. And how God has perfect timing on everything in our lives. We think, oh, well, God, why is this happening? There's a time, there's a reason, there's everything. It's about what God has in the end. Is God orchestrating evil against you? No. Did he know it was coming? Yes. That's why the 6 months prior to that happening, he was preparing you. He was building you up. We look around, oh God, I can't be hard on my children. We have raised a generation that is lazy. We have raised a generation that cannot handle stress. They're the ones going to determine if you're going to a nursing home. I hope you did your job well. I won't identify any nursing homes, but you might end up someplace you didn't want to be. Instead of doing it God's way, they're just going to say, hey, wherever, I got this to do. So instead of raising that up, we raised up people who cannot handle what's going to be coming at them. That's why everybody's offended. I don't want to get too much into the message this morning. But I do want to encourage you today. We sang this song, Let the Peace of God Reign. I'm going to talk a little bit about that and with what's going on in your life and what's going on in the world today. But listen, folks, the word reign, it is the law. Everything is judged by that. We have no concept of reigning in our country. But everybody else who has a king, they understand. They can rule and they can reign. But in our country, we don't get it. The church doesn't get it. And when we do, all they want to do, the church wants to jump onto, is the ruling part. You know, just like today, the monarchy in England is just figurehead. That is it. They do not reign. Or no, they reign, but they don't rule. That's how it is. They do not rule. You have got to get beyond God being he's on the throne, but he doesn't govern your life. His peace isn't what you're running by. Listen, come hell or high water, you got to let God's peace run. Your life, every aspect about your life, everything that's going on in your life. And then, you know, just like, and quit being a child, I guess is what I'm about to say. Quit being the child in the back of the seat saying, are we almost there yet? 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 After the third time, you're ready to strangle them, right? Don't make me come in that back seat. I always laughed at people that had station wagons. Don't make me. What are you going to do? They're 8 feet away from you. Yeah, exactly. They stopped the car and crawled in through a window. And if you had a smart kid, they had their finger on the window or on the crank and ready to go out the other window. But I guess I'm just saying we've got to quit being babies, and I guess I'll talk about that in a minute. How about I do that? Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful to be called your children. But Father, in all that, we know that we must grow up. We must become adults, that we must be producing life to be called your children. Father, as you said in the parable of the branches, that those who do not produce, they are cut off and they are thrown into the fire and discarded so that the whole organism can live. Father, I pray that we never become branches that do not produce. Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. I bless it, Father. I receive it on your behalf in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. Which one's yours? Okay. How many of you have had a, when I say this, I want you to take it the right way, a fun week? Okay, that settles it. That's good. It's the right message for the right day. We all have those weeks. We all have weeks when we're on top of the mountain, we're looking down, but we got to remember the struggle it was getting up the mountain. And we got to remember that sometimes coming down the mountain is just as adventurous as going up it. But you've got to go down that mountain because we are not called to just sit still. See, here's the problem with us today. We like to camp out on what we did yesterday. Oh, but God, I overcame this and this and this. Yeah, I want you to overcome that range now. Yeah, that's great. That's the downside to crawling up a mountain. You see more mountains you need to climb. When you're down in the valley, you only see the mountain right in front of you. You get on top, you're like, oh, Lord. This is a big range, and I've got to go over. How many of you ever think about it? I think about it every time I drive through West Virginia, or even over the Smokies, or any mountain where you get up and you crest, and you just look out and you see the mountains, and then you realize that in the times of Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett and all those pioneers, they did not have I-77 or I-75. They had carts with wheels that were made out of wood. They had an ox, maybe a horse or a mule, something, pulling that, and they were cutting trees down or finding a path that had been naturally made by a disaster or something else. That's how they got across those mountains. You know, Angela's family, when we started dating, and you know, they instantly had to start watching the hillbilly jokes. I remember the first time I heard one. We were at the dinner table, and her brother said something. He said, there was this hillbilly, and he said, oh, now wait a minute. He said, present company excluded. But, you know, I later learned, I told him, I said, you know, well, my family comes from an area where the mountain is called Morrison Ridge. And I said, in the cemetery where my family's buried, there's a whole section of Woodells, and there's a whole section of Morrisons. And that's when they let me know that their family came from West Virginia years and years ago, but when you could drive your buggy across the Ohio River because it had frozen. So that's how long ago they had crossed. But we all came from the same side of the river. And they all had to wait until they could cross that thing while it was frozen. But the times that they went through to get there, you know, you think about it. You know, her cousin was telling a story the other day. They live in Alaska, I think actually Anchorage, right? And he was loading his camper up. They've got a cabin out in the middle of one of the bays, and you know, they got bald eagles' nests everywhere and a few bears. And he said the other day he was loading up the the camper. They were going camping, and they were putting stuff in the camper. And he said, out the side of his eye, he saw something. He thought it was a dog. It came up to him, and he swatted it, put the stuff down, turned around, and it's a grizzly bear. Well, I can promise you, I have an uncle who ran into a black bear in a berry patch in West Virginia. He had to clean his shorts when he got home, and he ran the whole way. Her cousin had to run in the house, but he ran in screaming. And I'm sure he had to make some adjustments as well. But, you know, there was a time in life, there were bears everywhere. There were wildcats everywhere. There were wolves, there were coyotes. All of this stuff was, these were dangerous times for them. This is just day-to-day living. And there was even up a point that we had Native Americans that weren't real fond of what we were doing. So there's a lot of times that they went through that were rough. Not really unlike today. I mean, there's a lot of things. Well, yeah, we don't have grizzly bears walking right up to us down here. You know, we don't have wolves anymore, except for a few people that have them in caged enclosures. But for the most part, we live a relatively safe life. Our biggest threat now is each other. It's one another. Our neighbor. There's no loyalty. You know, I'm amazed at how many people, and I read the reports, you know, the news reports on thing, and how there's even a video of this, that somebody's getting beat up and people just walk by. Are you kidding me? What have we become as a people? That we'll just let, I read the other day, he was either 91 or 92, I saw two different things. He was beat in the face with a brick and people would not help. They finally did catch the woman. She is in jail. I didn't even read the story. I was just so infuriated at that people walked by while this woman beat this 90-year-old man in the face with a brick, and nobody stood up. See, this is the kind of stuff I've been talking about. You've heard me talk about the whole 9/11 thing and how only one plane did anybody stand up. Well, they cut their throat. They were traumatized. How can we be traumatized in the day of the movies that we have that are our norm? I'm sorry, I can take you to any movie I've ever watched and I can show you where somebody's brains were blown out, their throat was cut, they were disemboweled, or anything. Oh, but they were traumatized. They were paralyzed in fear. It's a box cutter, folks. Can't tell you how many cuts I've got from them. It sure beat blowing up in a building. And a ball of fire could have been stopped, but we didn't, because we become lovers of ourselves. We would rather listen to what people would say, you do this and we'll blow you up. I always tell you, and I don't believe in coming back and haunting people, but that's what I would tell them. I said, you go ahead, you kill me, I will come back and I will haunt you. You can't kill a ghost. I'm already dead. I know it doesn't exist, but it's just a good stance. Makes people think, because there's a lot of people, they do. They believe in people coming back and haunting them. They're called familiar spirits. They do exist. But I don't get the choice to come back and haunt you, because if I did, there are some people got some payback. No. Yeah, some of you are like, God, could we do that? No. So let's open our Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul's talking to Timothy about our day. He says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. The word perilous, it means harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with. The word describes a society that is barren of virtue, but abounding with vices. Does that not sound like our day? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, listen, this whole thankful thing, I'm having a hard time getting hold of it. Being unthankful. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm thankful for the food that God has given me. I'm thankful for the day. I'm thankful for the rain. I'm thankful for the trees. I'm thankful for those cottonwoods that had dumped tons of cotton in my yard last 2 weeks. We thought they were done. It looked like somebody sheared a whole flock of sheep in my yard. But I'm not going to curse the trees because I love them. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers. This brutal, I'm going to go back to it in a minute. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Now let me go back to the brutal. He ended that, folks, with having a form of godliness but denying its power. He identified who he's talking about. He's talking about people that call themselves Christians, primarily. We know the world. We expect, if you do not expect it from the world, here's your revelation today. Expect it. They are of their father, the devil. Doesn't mean he gave birth to them. It means they are following his example. Okay? But Paul is describing the church of the last days. Many people will be in this area. They will seek only what's good for them. They will be searching more for blessing than they will the face of God. I don't seek God's hand. I seek God's face. I want to know God. I don't want blessing without God. Moses put it this way. If we go in with an angel, kill me now that I may be with you, as opposed to going in receiving what you had. Now do you understand why Moses had been in the very presence of God? Folks, there is no amount of goosebumps you can get to accommodate what he felt, what he experienced. This is why Joshua was the way he was. Because Joshua was the one sitting there with him. Joshua and Moses both had experienced something from God. That's why Joshua was chosen to lead them in. But Moses was not willing to give up the presence of God for the blessing. The blessing is one thing. The presence is where everything melts away. The presence, nothing can touch you. Oh, but why do I don't have those goosebumps? Folks, after a while, you don't get the goosebumps. You're in it all the time. After a while, you know, I'd get out on my motorcycle and get riding down the road. You know, that first couple minute nervousness of being on there kind of went away, and then I just settled right into it. And I calmed down, and I began to enjoy what I was doing. But people will have a form of godliness. Oh, the Bible talks about this. Jesus talked about this at the separation of the sheep and goats. Many will say, Lord, did we not hold great crusades for you? Did we not cast out demons and heal the sick? And he says, depart. I never knew you. I have no idea who you are. Why? Because they didn't seek his face. He didn't recognize them. We should look like Jesus. He should look at us and he should see a reflection of himself back, not a reflection of any ministry on this planet. I'm not anybody's mini-me. I'll just tell you that flat out. I kid you not, folks, I have people trying to get me to be their mini-me. They want to be my mentor. I don't need a mentor. Okay? Yeah. There are people, they need them. I'm not one of them. My mentor is Jesus Christ. I started this ministry because Jesus told me to. Pastor Dosek is not my mentor. You can ask Angela. He's the one God sent us to get us on the right track. And he told me that straight up. I got a question, I called. Now, I've been at this long enough, I don't need to be calling all the time. As a matter of fact, I haven't called in years about anything. Because what his role was over. It was to get me going. Kind of maybe stabilize my legs a little bit. Here's some things I would recommend not doing, because I learned the hard way. But so many people are trying, still even now, trying to reach out and pull me into an organization to make me their mini-me. I want to be God. I want to look like God. Now, if you want me to join with you in prayer, bless God, brother, I'm there. I'll pray with you. I'll fight with you. I'll fight for you. But don't expect me to try to become your mini-me. Okay? I don't expect you to be my mini-me. I expect you to be who God created you to be. Your temperament, your personality, who you are. Now, that's not saying that everything about us is perfect. Anybody that's delusional in that area, we're changing. As one of the leadership traits I learned in the Marine Corps is to know ourselves and seek self-improvement. God put it this way, judge yourself so that you're not judged. If we will rightly judge ourselves, God, I could have a little more mercy here. I could have this here. I could be a better person here. Then we won't be judged on that. Because we've addressed, now you can say, well, I recognize that I need to deal with this, but I never deal with it. Yeah, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? You need to actually move forward in that area. Having a form of godliness, and Paul said, and from such people turn away. People that are only focused, listen, on building their ministry. Turn away from them. They are not reaching out. They are not picking people up. I forget where I keep seeing this thing. It says, never look down on people unless you're helping them up. That's it. So many people, so many men, well, you know, you've been in ministry 15 years. You know, you should. 15, 16, 17, whatever it is now. I don't even lose track. Don't care. Yeah, it's 17 this year, right? They look down, well, you know, your church, you ought to dominate that city. I don't think you understand. I do dominate this city. The demons in this town are afraid of us. They shiver when we gather. And they scream in terror when you come out of this place all pumped up and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, but Pastor, you know, you're not on the city council. None of it. I ain't got to be on the city council to control things. I can pray. I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That means he's the Lord over all the demons that think they're lords and the King of all the kings that think they're kings. That's who I serve. And, oh, by the way, guess what? He gave me their power. He took it from them and gave it to me. I have his power, his authority to do his will on this earth. Well, Pastor, why aren't we stopping bad things from happening? I can't stop people from making stupid decisions. That's all there is to it. Everything that happens is because somebody made a decision. And we cannot control what people say or do. Verse 6, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Now let me point, I'm going to say, I've said it before, you need to understand, Paul lived in a society that was male dominated. Okay? It's an unfortunate thing that that's all some people read in here. But let's face the truth, there are just as many gullible men as there are women. It was just that the women were in the households more, but the truth of the matter was, they worked too. There were women in the marketplace. Go back and read Proverbs 31 again. She's doing business transactions. Women did things back then too. Paul was a single man in a male-dominated society. So yes, there's possibly going to be some bias. Don't hold that against the man. It was his society. Okay? But gullible people is what we will read that as. Because that's the truth. There are gullible people everywhere. Well, you know, if you rub this oil on you, you'll be healed. Is your faith in God or is your faith in that oil? Because the last time I checked, it said by faith. Not you got to be anointed. So many people are teaching that and they're, look, it says being bound, being held down. They're making captives, loaded down with sin. Sins are that which is wrong. That's all there is to it. Things that are wrong. Well, brother, you know, punching that person was wrong. No, maybe punching that person was what saved their life. I'm not saying you go out and punch people, okay? Let's get this on the record right now. I've already been informed I'm not allowed to punch anybody, so I'm not saying that. But there may come a time that is what saves somebody's life. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm going to tell you right now today, folks, there is no reason one person in this country can say, I didn't know the truth. The Bible is still the most popular book ever sold. There are more sites that you can throw a stick than you can throw rocks at, a handful of rocks, talking about the Bible. There's Bible studies. You don't have to agree with everybody. Not everybody in here agrees with me. And I don't care. It doesn't bother me. As long as we agree that Jesus Christ is Lord, you need to get your act together and live right. And you must accept Jesus in order to have salvation. I don't care about the rest. I don't care if you agree about the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you agree about tithing or whatever. I'm going to tell you right now, tithing is a principle that hands down works. I wouldn't make any investments if I wasn't tithing. You're going to lose your shirt. Because I got people in here who are tithing, who didn't understand it at first, who are tithing, and yet God's moving in their realm, blessing them. But we're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. These were the two magicians that operated during Moses' time. Moses did a miracle, they did the miracle. But yet, every time God overpowered their magic, like the serpent, Moses' serpent ate theirs. I don't know about you, but if I see, okay, wait a minute. We did the same thing he did, except his 8 hours. There might be a greater power. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. I think I put 10, but we're not going to 10. We're going to 9. We live in perilous, dangerous times. We're going to run into people who don't agree with us. We're going to run into people. Listen, I'll be honest with you as far as the whole LGBT thing going on, baking cakes and cookies and stuff. You don't have to write on it. Bake a stupid cake. I'm sorry. But yet we have a hypocrisy going on. As if you read about the thing with Sarah Sanders Huckabee, they kicked her out because she works for the Trump administration. Total hypocritical. We can't have both ways, but yet this is what our society is saying is right today. I'm saying bake the stupid cake. Bible didn't say you was going to work for godly people. How many of you actually work for a 100% godly man or woman? Okay, yeah. I'm glad this one was able to raise her hand. My secretary really needs to have her hand in the air. But you see what I'm saying? Why aren't you protesting and refusing to work? That's it. Well, I can't get behind it. Well, you better quit drinking Coke, Pepsi, driving Fords, Chevys, Cadillacs. Quit going to Walmart. You're not allowed to go to Disney anymore. Quit watching Disney. What else? Oh, you might as well hang up your Levi's. You might as well go crawl in a hole and be like the giraffe on Madagascar. We go to the hole and we die. That's what we do. It's perilous times, folks. I think we've done a lot of stupid things as a people in our zeal to prove that our way is the right way. If you didn't hear it, I'll tell you about it. But for those of you that didn't know, there was a particular stripper who stripped in Columbus and got arrested the other day. She also is in a deal with our president. Okay. They had to release her because they found out she really didn't violate the law. But we had put 4 undercover cops on front row. What did we do? And I'm saying conservatives did this. We gave her a whole lot of free advertising. That's exactly what we did. We gave that entire industry, because she decided, I'm not going to dance at that one tonight. I'm going to go to another one. So every strip club in Columbus the next night was packed. Why do we do this? Because we think that's what's going to work. And it don't. But these are perilous times. That's why we have to live our life with the peace of God. God, where do I have your peace? We'll talk a little bit more about that real quick. But now let's turn over real quick to John chapter 16. We'll go to verse 32. Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come that you will be scattered. Now, Jesus is particularly talking to the 12. You do not have to read that in and put yourself in there. He's speaking to the 12 in this particular point. Each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. How is the Father with him? The presence of God Almighty is with him. God's peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, he says, peace. Peace I leave you, not peace as the world gives, but my peace. What is his peace? His peace is knowing that God is with him. That is how we should be today in the times that the Apostle Paul is talking about. We should have God's peace. Well, they say I can't speak the name of Jesus. Then the name of Jesus is what's going to be on my tongue. They tell me I can't preach the truth or else lose my tax exemption. Adios, tax exemption. Now, here's the verse I wanted to really get into. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. He just told us. That's what he's leaving us. His peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's why I can walk out those doors and I don't care what they're saying. Oh, the times are going to get bad. Well, in the last 30 years, they've been pretty bad from what I can tell. Honestly, has there really ever been a good time? We've been in one war or another. We've had protest upon protest, things protesting what was wrong. I agree, we shouldn't be treating people bad. Period. But we went so far that we pushed them to a militant stage. And when you push to that point, they go above and beyond. This is the point. This is what this stage is the stage I get into when I play sports. It's why I had to quit. I will sacrifice myself to win. You can ask my wife. When I got to play, I'm there to win. If I have to dive, I'll dive. I think, what was it? We ran that obstacle course. Some of you remember at the picnic. And we were running. And I came down through there. And my father and an unnamed person who's sitting there laughing decided to throw bales of straw at me when I came flying across the finish line, literally flying. But I was sacrificing my body, and in the process, I ended up dislocating 4 vertebrae. I have to say, it's not, they didn't do the initial, they just re-popped them. Me jumping the snowmobile over a road is what dislocated them in the beginning. But I say that because that's the way I play. And that's why, you know, if you play, you will find at some point I will get extremely aggressive. And I will play to win. And he couldn't let me. And I couldn't let my brother-in-law win on the other side. That's why I was flying, literally. But you see, that's what happens with people. They don't care anymore. They will sacrifice everything they've got. They will sacrifice it because now they've gone to a militant stage. That is why Malcolm X said, by any means necessary. They were tired of being treated badly because they were black. That was it. And the Nation of Islam welcomed them in if they would convert to them. They didn't matter color. That didn't matter to them. But for some reason, white America had a problem with it. And so we created an entirely militant bunch. They don't care what the truth is. All they remember is the past. And we will continue to fight. Now, our troublous times today, as Jesus was talking about tribulation, it means pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Anybody experienced that the last week? Okay, that should be about every hand just about. Because that is life, is it not? You're going to get it. I don't care if you're a hermit, you will face it. Because what's going to happen is you'll turn on radio and they'll be talking about war. They'll be talking about another terrorist attack. They'll be talking about something, and that will affect you. Imagine placing your hand on a stack of loose items and manually compressing them. This is thlipsis. That's the word. Putting a lot of pressure on that which is free and unfettered. Imagine pushing down on the towels you just folded. You can really compress that big stack of towels down, can't you? Beforehand, they're nice, they're free, they're fluffy, and then you press everything out of them. Thlipsis is like spiritual bench pressing. The word is used of crushing grapes or olives in a press. That is what Jesus was talking about. Things coming against us. But he said, do not worry, do not fear. I have overcome the world. I've overcome everything. Listen, this whole, that thing means everything coming against you. Spiritual warfare, physical warfare, health, everything. Everything that is coming against you, mental, stress, whatever it is. Jesus said, I have already overcome that. Here's the part. We have to receive that. And you don't have to chant the mantra, I believe, I receive, I believe, I receive, I believe, I receive, every 5 minutes. You have to settle it in your heart. When you settle it in your heart, you will find that you are more grateful for things. I no longer believe that if I don't pray over my breakfast that day, that God's going to curse the rest of my food. Or if I forgot to pray during the day, that my food is going to be suddenly poisonous and give me the scoots. That's not God. I'm grateful for that food, whether or not I said thank you, Lord. But I say thank you, Lord. I say thank you, Lord, when I'm praying for the day. Not that I'm any less grateful any other day. Because I've come to realize I'm in the presence of God all the time. Not just when I'm in my little prayer time. I don't need praise and worship music going on. A lot of times there's a lot of noise going on. There's construction noise. There's all kinds of things. Machines. I'm in the presence of God no matter what I'm in. And so when I can get myself in there and I can pull back and say, hey, whoa, whoa, Art, you're letting the stress get hold of you and you've lost what is supposed to be. Don't let the tribulations of the time. Now, having said that, sometimes people, well, you know, God, you put me in this job so that I could become a better person. Sometimes it's just you need to leave. That's all there is to it. Nobody said you're somebody's footstool. This is where I disagree with a lot of preachers. Well, you just need to keep letting them abuse you. It makes you a better person. Hogwash. It makes you a pansy. It makes you somebody's whipping boy. That's what sucking it up like that all the time does. If you enjoy your job and you're willing to live with it, suck it up and keep trucking. But you do not have to take people's abuse. You are not the world's footstool. Jesus said, I will make the world my footstool. So if it's his footstool and we are joint heirs, guess who gets to use the world as a footstool? We do. We're not supposed to think any, listen, we're not supposed to think any less of ourselves nor more highly of ourselves than we ought. I know who I am in Christ. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, a joint heir to inherit heaven and earth. That's who I am. If my last name was Gates, do you know what my inheritance is? Like $75-80 billion? Do you think I'm going to let people say, hey, you're just a ball of something, you fill in? I'm not going to let people treat me like that. But as a Christian, I should also keep in mind, hey, I'm not their Lord. I need to treat people properly as a Christian, whether or not they're in my employ. That's where things get funny. If you are employing somebody and you're a Christian, you need to remember to be the boss fairly. And also remember, you're a Christian. That doesn't give you a right to go, just because you're the boss, to go out there and just constantly berate them. Because I promise you, you will win people better with better behavior towards them. They will come around. You can be firm, but you don't have to be a jerk. That's where this whole brutal thing comes in that Paul was talking about. They will become brutal. We've, I don't know how many years, we've had this thing, extreme love, brutal honesty. Anytime honesty comes through and it is not tempered with love, it is abuse. Yes. Amen. Y'all got that? It's like spanking a child just because you're ticked off.
If you're spanking the child because you're embarrassed or you're mad, you're the one with the problem and you need the spanking. Nine times out of ten, the kid didn't know what he did. He didn't understand. You can say no. We smacked our children's hands when they'd reach up on the stove. A couple times they got the stove. I would much rather smack their hands or their backside to save them from that, because they'll understand when the, because we lived on a main road. When I say don't go to the road, I mean don't go to the road. I remember a time, it was Joshua and Jason. Neighbor called up, said, "Hey," or was that you looked at? "They're sitting on the curb, honking at semis." They were, what, four? They were little. They were kindergarten? Okay. So they were about 5, 6 years old. They were just little guys sitting there. Oh, Angela just went out and she lit them both up. Said, she lit him up and she chewed into him. No, I think you spanked him. Because we had told him, do not cross the sidewalk. There was about 3.5 feet of grass. You did not go. That was no man's land. That was butt-kicking time. Because people did... Listen, I've seen people drive down. We lived on West Marion Street. 55 miles an hour they were going by there. And it's like, it's a 35 zone, and I don't know why it's that. There's too many houses. We got too many people walking around here. But it is what it is. You got to discipline them. But if you're not doing it out of love because you love them and you want other people to love them. I remember Mrs. Arnold, a gal we worked for, she owned the photography studio we worked for. And she said, "You know, when I told Michael, her son," she said, "Mike, I'm spanking you not because I'm mad. I'm spanking you because I love you. And I want other people to love you. And what you did is not acceptable." And so she had to explain it to him that way. And I'm guessing from some of the trouble he got into later in life, she didn't spank him enough. Like when his picture came across the evening news in the drug bust. He did have a smile. I will give him that. There wasn't much that man couldn't smile through. You just got arrested in a drug sting and being a photography studio, which he now owns. He got the, see, remember what I said? Sometimes they need a punch in the face. He needed arrested. He turned his life around. He lost his job, turned his life around. He bought the studio from his mother. And that is now his living. But we're wrapped up in all kinds of things, folks. We got garbage coming against us. We need to understand that is pressure. And Jesus said, "I've overcome it." We need to find our peace in that, in Him. And He has overcome it. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Sometimes God's already told you what to do, and you're just a little chicken to do it. When you finally realize I'm nobody's whipping post, you're not going to beat on me. You're not going to abuse me. That should settle it right there. I've come to the point in my life where I've told Angel, I said, I'm nobody's whipping post. I wish I'd have got that message 20 years ago and stood up for myself on some things, but I didn't. Because I had grown up in a society through the church. If the guy's your boss, you just suck it up. You're being a jerk, I'm going to flat out tell you. That's all there is to it. I told my platoon sergeant asked me before I got out of the Marine Corps. I only had like a couple months. He said, "Corporal Waddell," he says, "you going to reenlist?" And I looked at him and I said, "No, Sergeant Moore, I'm not." I said, "I want a job where if my boss is being a jerk, I can tell him and not worry about going to jail and losing money. Just lose my job. But I can go find another one. I won't be in jail." He never asked me again. Because he was the one I was talking about and he knew it. He tried to claim my wife as his once.
Yeah. That didn't go over well when I found out. I was playing football. He introduced my wife to my OIC officer in charge as his wife. In the two and a half years I was there, nobody ever saw his wife, and he was married. She wanted nothing to do with him outside of their house, apparently, because she never came to any function. I don't know what the deal was, but boy, after he did that, I was, you don't even joke about that. Because I was a little protective of her. I went after one of my friends, 6'2", because he took my picture of her. Wouldn't give it back. He later told me he was very sorry as he was icing himself. Y'all figure it out. Grab, twist, pull. Big guy scream really loud. But that's what I'm telling you. That's the way I get when you violate my rights. You cross the line. I can go there. I don't need to all the time, but I can go there. But you cross my wife? I'm going to tell you right now, bets are off. Anybody crosses her, I don't care who you are. You come after her, you just grabbed. What you did is you went up to the dog that's been on the chain, and you've been throwing rocks at him and hitting him with sticks, and he can't get to you. What happened was the chain just came off when you mess with my wife. But understand this. Everything has to be tempered in love. Everything. Our honesty with each other, our honesty with anybody has to be tempered through love. If you don't do it through love, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, it's, you're just being a jerk. That's all there is to it. That is all there is to it. Jesus never, not once, there's a couple times people look, well, he was just brutally honest. He was totally tempered in love in everything he said. And everything he said was not because he was fed up with them, but because he knew he had to go. And every time he told them disciples, how long do I have to carry you? It wasn't just being a jerk. It was, guys, I'm leaving. I know the date. You need to understand, he knew the date. He knew all of this stuff. And he says, I'm leaving. And you're not ready. The rougher our drill instructors were on us, the better we were. They were rough on us all the way up until about the last week. And then they started treating us like human beings again. But even during that time, I watched one recruit do something really, really stupid. He called the drill instructor by his first name. We are not Marines yet. We were not called Marines until the day we walked across that parade and they said dismissed. Up until that, we were nasty, no good for nothing recruits. And we were being treated like people. We were taking a shortcut, getting to walk normal. And one guy's name was Sylvia Gomez. And Staff Sergeant Canepa said, hey, ain't that right, Sylvia? And Gomez said, that's right, Mario. Big mistake. Big. Huge. We saw Gomez cry that day. See, all the love that they had shown to build us up, he never got. By the way, he was dishonorably discharged within 6 months of being out because he was a thief and a liar. He stole people's money. I found my flashlight in his stuff. Because he had six of them. He'd been stealing our equipment through boot camp. He was a klepto. But all the love that they showed him to make him something better, he threw it away. Sometimes you can't make people change. And you know what's really sad? He messed up the rest of his life. That dishonorable discharge hangs with you for eternity. Every job. Were you in the military? Yeah. What discharge? They want to know. Dishonorable. We don't want you. Maybe Burger King will take you. I guess I'm getting off track. I'm just letting you know, folks. Peace of God has to reign in all things. Let God temper everything through love. Everything has to be tempered. Steel has to be tempered. Glass has to be tempered. And there's just so much. I learned the other day, whiskey has to be tempered. I had to watch the Moonshiners at the VA the other day. The guy said, people drink, I want to drink 150 proof. He says, you can't drink 150 proof. He said, that stuff will burn you from this end to this end. He said, it has to be tempered. It has to be mixed with a little weaker and bring it down. Think about it. Glass has to experience heat. Steel has to experience extreme heat. Coal has to experience extreme heat to either become a diamond or for its power to be released. It just depends on what's going to happen with it. You're going to experience pressure. All right, let's stand. I have gotten a call from West Virginia the other day. Right now, some of the things we're going to be doing is some painting. There's a basketball court outside that needs painted. She said something about staining a fire escape. I'm not for certain why you would stain something that's supposed to be metal. But maybe West Virginia has different rules. I don't know. So there's a fire escape that needs stained, and there's some plumbing and some other little things. I'll fill you in more on the other. So it sounds like it's actually going to be a pretty easy thing. And I figure with the number of guys we got going, we can probably knock everything she told me out. She's like, tell us what you want to do. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I plan on knocking all three of those because these are their big, last big items that need to be done. And but I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm excited about it. We've raised some money to help out with the expenses of the trip, plus materials. We told them we'd help out with some materials. So, and I appreciate everything everybody's giving towards that. You know, I know not everybody came from West Virginia in the last 30 years, 40 years, but somewhere along the line, more than likely your paths crossed over that river too. Whether it was just passing through, but mine stayed for a while. So, but anyhow, just giving you a heads up on that. All right? Well, let's pray. We're going to pray for our brother Harold. He's not been feeling well, and he's got a lot of stress he's carrying today. So, our Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we lift up Harold. Father, I pray right now that you touch him. Lord God, I pray right now you fill his heart with peace. I know his body is being disobedient, but right now, Father, I pray that you help him. Help him to calm down, Father. Help his peace. Lord, we curse the infection that is in his jaw right now. We command that pocket to disappear. For all of that pus, whatever, to be gone from his body, Lord. And I pray that as they prepare for the surgery he's about to have, Father, that he is calm. He is locked into your peace. That nobody, nothing can take away from him. In Jesus' name. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for your word that you warned us heads up that we were going to have a rough time. I bless them, Father. I pray that as they are struggling, if they're struggling through something, that you lead them, you guide them, Father. Surround them with your peace as they seek your face on these things, Father. And Father, when they come through the other side, that they will feel the strength rise up within them that has developed because of it. In Jesus' name, amen.